In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, one God, Amen. Today is the second Sunday of the Coptic month, Misra. And as you know, this month is the last month in the Coptic year. That's why the church, during this month, reminds us with the end of our life and how we will stand before God to give an account of our life, an account of our stewardship. So all the readings of this month, of the Sundays of this month, I directed toward this goal, how to examine yourself and how to be ready to stand before God. That's why, if you remember last Sunday, we had the parable of the wicked vine dressers, that the Lord actually asked them to give an account of their stewardship and sent them many prophets, but they killed them. Then he sent his son and they crucified him. And the Lord told them, this will be taken, the stewardship, the vineyard will be taken from you and will be given to another nation. Which means God wants us to be fruitful and to present to him our fruits. So the goal of the reading of last Sunday is to examine ourselves and to see whether we have fruits in our vineyard or not. Whether we are carrying the fruit of the Holy Spirit in our life or not. But some of us, when we examine ourselves, maybe we'll find our life fruitless and we don't have any fruit, and we'll be ashamed when we stand before God giving an account of our stewardship. So today, the gospel is a message of hope, message of encouragement. When God called Levi, who became later Saint Matthew, one of the 12 disciples and one of 4 evangelists, Levi was a sinner. Levi was a tax collector, which means he is a greedy person, falling in the love of money. And beside this, he had hardened hearts, because the tax collector used to collect the money from the people with hardened heart, with harshness. There was no compassion or mercy. But how the grace of God transformed Levi from a person who loved money and was greedy to a person who actually left everything to follow the Lord Jesus Christ. From a person who has a hardened heart to a person who has heart of flesh and compassion. You can see this, how after he met the Lord Jesus Christ, he made a banquet and invited all his friends in order to enjoy the presence of the Lord. Maybe in his heart he want all his friends, the tax collectors and the sinners, to repent and to enjoy the life of repentance and fellowship with God. Also, he preached after the ascension of our Lord Jesus Christ. The tradition says he went to Ethiopia and preached there. And at the end of his ministry, he was martyred. So how the grace of God transformed Matthew from a person with hardened heart to a person with kind and soft heart. And this message is a message of hope to all of us. So after examining ourselves, if we find our life fruitless, if we find there is no fruits or nothing we can offer to God, don't fall in despair. There is hope. God and the grace of God that worked in Matthew can work in each one of us, and we can bear fruits in our life. Also, the Lord mentioned to us in this gospel some points that may hinder our repentance. Some points that may hinder how to leave everything and consecrate our life to God. The first thing, actually, that we are attached to the old life, whether it's love of money, love of pleasure, or love of ego, we attach it to this old life. As the Lord said, no one having drunk old wine immediately desires new. For he says, the old is better. Many times we are so attached to our old life with all its weaknesses, with all its sins, but we are attached to it and we are not willing to give it up. In the story of Matthew, the Lord told him, follow me. And he immediately left all things and followed him. And maybe some of us wonder how Matthew, just after one word, he left everything. Definitely Matthew heard about the Lord Jesus Christ before the Lord actually called him and told him, follow me. Definitely he had a desire to follow the Lord. But Matthew didn't have the courage to leave all and to follow the Lord. He was struggling. He was struggling with the old man. Matthew was an example of a person who says the old is better. That's why he has the desire to follow the Lord, but he couldn't. He wanted a power to actually snatch him from the old life and to help him to start a new life. And this power lied in the word of the Lord Jesus Christ when he told him, follow me. And this power in the word of God is available and accessible to each one of us. Each one of us has a desire to live godly with God. All of us, we want to live life of repentance. We want to bear the fruit of the Holy Spirit. But many times we are struggling because we say the old is better. But we need this push to actually release us from this unhealthy attachment in order to start our journey with the Lord Jesus Christ. This push comes and lies in the Word of God, because the Word of God is living Word, powerful Word, sharper than two-edged sword. If you separate yourself from the Word of God, then you will be struggling and struggling, but you don't have this grace to move you and push you in the journey of repentance. That's why we need actually to be disciples of the Word of God. And the Word of God that moved Matthew and transformed his life is the same Word with the same power, with the same grace that actually can change and transform my heart if I accept it in meekness and humbleness. That's why the Bible told us about the Word of God, that the Word of God can save our souls, can save our souls. Until now, every time we read the Word of God or we hear the Word of God, the Holy Spirit accompanies each word and pierce our heart. So we need this grace in order to move us from this old attachment, the old is bitter, in order to start a new journey. Other point that hinder our repentance, when we want to mix between the old life and the new life. So the first group, they couldn't leave the old life. They said the old is better. The second group want to mix between the old life and the new life, to live a dual life. So on Sunday, the days of the Lord, we come to the church and we worship and we partake in the sacraments. But the rest of the week, we are living a different life, life of the world. And the Lord today, He told us clearly, you cannot do this. He said, no one puts a piece from a new garment on an old one. Otherwise, the new makes a tear. And also the piece that was taken out of the new does not match the old. And no one puts new wine into old wine skins, or else the new wine will burst the wine skins and be spilled, and the wine skins will be ruined. New wine must be put into new wine skins, and both are preserved. The wine here represents the new life with God. You cannot actually start this new life with old wine, with old heart. Heart that's still loving sin, and try to combine between life with God and life with the world. You cannot combine both. The love of the world is enmity to God. You cannot serve two masters. You cannot serve God and money in the same time. There is no fellowship between light and darkness. Maybe this also was a struggle to Matthew before his transformation. He wanted to combine the old life, love of money, with the love of God. But you cannot do this. That's why it's very important to leave the old life completely, and to follow God. As what happened with Matthew, he left all, rose up, and followed him. He left all, rose up, and followed him. Sometimes there is a hidden sin hiding in a corner of my heart, or hiding in a corner of my thoughts and mind. And I want to live with God. It doesn't work this way. That's why the Lord told us, love the Lord your God from all your heart, all your thoughts, all your power. You need actually to consecrate all to God. And again, leaving everything needs a power and needs grace. That's why prayer and trusting God and relying on Him and asking Him to help me to leave everything and to follow Him, like the 12 disciples, like Matthew, like all the saints and martyrs. Some people try to combine between the two lives. Like Lot's wife. God sent two angels to Lot to tell him escape for your life. Leave Sodom and Gomorrah completely. But Lot's wife, she want to combine between both. She start leaving the city of Sodom, but her heart was still in that city. That's why she looked backward. Maybe she start going backward. That's why she turned into a pillar of salt. Because she did not leave all. Still, there was an old attachment with the old life. She wanted to combine old life with new life. The same happened with Hananiah and Sapphira. They saw everyone selling their possessions, bringing the money, putting the money at the feet of the apostles. They were struggling between love of money and leaving all. They couldn't. So they thought to combine. What about I will keep some to myself and actually I will offer the rest. And they lied. They did not say we kept some for ourselves. And this struggle between the old life and the new life, and they wanted to combine both, made them actually lose their salvation. And both of them perished. A third example, Judas, one of the 12. He wanted to combine the two lives together. He wanted to be one of the 12 disciples, preaching with the rest of the disciples, following the Lord Jesus Christ. But there was a sin hiding in his heart, love of money. And since he has the treasury box with him, he actually used to steal all the money that is in the box without offering repentance. So the church is warning us today, if you want to follow Christ, you need to leave all. No love of money in our heart. No love of pleasure should be in our heart. No love of pride or ego should be in our heart. You need to consecrate our hearts, our minds, our souls, our energy, all to God. Anything we do it for the glory of God. As St. Paul said in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 31, whatever you do, whether eating or drinking, do it all for the glory of God. A third reason that may hinder our repentance. So the first reason, the first group of people, they want to live with God, but they are saying the old is better. The second group, they want to combine between old life and new life. Like Hananiah and Sapphira, like Lot's wife, like Judas. The third group, actually, people who did not realize that they are sick and they need a physician. Like the scribes and Pharisees. Can you imagine a person who has a serious illness, cancer, for example, but he's not aware of it, he's in denial. Even when he is confronted with his sickness, he denies it completely. He feels that he is well. So the Lord told them, those who are well, or those who perceive themselves as they are well, do not need a physician. But those who are sick. So the calling is not to those who perceive they are well, for those who are self-righteous. The calling is for those who realize their weakness. That's why the Lord said, I have not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. One of the things that hinder our repentance, that we feel we do not need repentance. We are well. We are righteous. We are not like the rest of the people, like the tax collectors and the sinners. That's why yesterday in the Gospel of Vespers, the church read to us the parable of the righteous Pharisee who stood and prayed. He prayed, but listen to his prayer. God, I thank you that I am not like other men, extortioners, unjust adulterers, or even as this tax collector. I fast twice a week. I give tithe of all that I possess. So he was boasting, self-righteous. He did not ask for forgiveness. He did not acknowledge his sins and offer repentance before God. He was standing before God, bragging and boasting of his self-righteousness. Compare him with the tax collector, who actually is standing afar off at the end, would not so much as raise his eyes to heaven. He felt unworthy to lift up his eyes to heaven. That's why he beat his chest, saying, God be merciful to me, a sinner. He is asking the mercies of God, acknowledging his condition that he is a sinner. And guess who went home justified? The second one. I tell you, this man went down to his house justified rather than the other. For everyone who exalts himself will be abased, and he who humbles himself will be exalted. We need to be aware of our sins, of our weaknesses. And we need to come asking the mercies of God. God, have mercy upon me, a sinner. When actually we stand before God, we should not stand in self-righteousness, but we should stand actually in humbleness, in meekness before God. And when we stand before God in meekness and humbleness, his power and his mercy will justify us as the tax collector was justified and as Matthew was transformed. So today, the church, while encouraging us by the example of Matthew to repent and to respond to the calling of God and to start our journey with him, bearing the fruits of the Spirit, giving us three examples to avoid them, because these three examples can hinder our repentance, can hinder bearing fruits for the glory of God. The first example, those who say the old is better. They want to cling to the old life. They have a desire to repent, but they still saying the old is better. The second group want to combine between old life and new life. Life with the world and life with God. The third group, they don't realize that they need God. They believe that they are righteous. They are not sinners. So from one extreme that says the old is better, to another extreme that says we are righteous, we are good, we are well, we don't need repentance, and those who are combining both ways in the middle. These three groups cannot be saved. These three groups cannot repent. So we need actually to be aware of these three groups and ask God to have mercy upon us, acknowledging that we are sinners and we are here because we need a physician. We are here to respond to his calling to us to repent and follow him. May the grace of God that worked with Matthew and transformed him from love of money to leave everything for the sake of God, from hardened heart to a person who actually sacrificed his life for the sake of God. May the same grace of God work in all of us, transform us into his likeness after his own image. Glory be to God forever and ever. Amen.